Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Well, it's so good to have Eddie and Donna with us, El Guerra from C3 Palm Springs. And it's been such a delight getting to know these guys because even though they have been in our movement, C3 movement, for a while, we've only just recently really been getting to get together here in America. So it's great to have you with us, Eddie and Donna.
It's great to be with you.
Thanks. Wonderful to be here.
Now, you have a really interesting background, Eddie. You were a skateboarder. Tell us a bit about that.
In 1980, I became two-time world champion skateboarder, inducted in the Skateboard Hall of Fame in 2016. And I've used that to actually kind of, when I was at the world champion, I wasn't saved at the time. And then I just kind of stopped skating, started getting into partying. Didn't want to have anything to do with the industry. Once I got saved, all of a sudden God spoke to me to start using skateboarding again. So now I'm able to use skateboarding as a tool, as to be a light in that industry as well.
So amazing. In fact, you did a demo at our church in Brookvale way back.
Yeah. Did a thing and then spoke to the youth, had a great time. Just being a part and being out there with you guys. I have a wonderful facility.
Right. And Eddie, you've been a part of the success, if you like, of recent Olympic champions, even Australian Olympic champions.
Yeah. Keegan Palmer, that won for the male parks for the Olympics. He's from Australia, but yeah, we've known him since he was probably like 10 years old. And just many of the Olympic athletes now that are at the top of their game, we just kind of, Donna and I, we've grown up with them and seen them growing up into to be amazing skateboarders.
And Poppy Starr also, yep, from Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in the women's Australian team.
Yeah.
She's an awesome young lady. And so such a good thing that you're having an influence on, well, teenagers and the next generation. And Donna, you've been hanging on to this guy. Tell us about how you met and how it all began.
Oh, wow. Well, we met through being set up. I was living in a ministry house. I came out of an abusive family situation. So I was living in a ministry house, and the women who ran the ministry home actually also worked at Eddie's family's restaurant. And she got to talking with Eddie's mom and did a little matchmaking. And at that point, I was just really kind of trying to focus on my relationship with God. But I said, well, I'll go to the Bible study that they have at their restaurant, but that's all I'm going to do. And then he asked me out to dinner. And I figured, you know, hey, a girl's got to eat. I can go to dinner. And he was just such a gentleman that I decided to give him a chance, at least, you know, be friends for a while and start hanging out. And it just kind of blossomed from there. It was God's plan for sure.
Yeah.
So good. How old were you?
Oh, should I even admit that? I was 17 when we met.
Amazing. How old were you when you married?
18.
It was the day after her 18th birthday. So actually we only knew each other for 3 months. And it was kind of one of those things. We knew we're celebrating. This is going to be our 38th year of marriage. So
38 years. You don't look older than 25, each of you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. Definitely one story that we didn't want to tell when we were youth pastors.
Yeah.
So
right. Well, Chris and I got married when I was 19 and she was 18. So you're about the same.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I, you know, can argue for it either way, whether waiting is a good idea or getting married early is a good idea, because I know difficulties that have emerged out of both those situations. But I guess I just think once it's settled and you made that big decision, then it doesn't have to bother you anymore. You can get on with other things in life.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if it's God's plan, it's God's plan. It's going to work regardless of what age you are.
Beautiful. I agree with that. Totally. Well, it's, you know, back to your church life, recently, like back in 2020, I think it was June or January back there, you actually joined C3 as a tribe. And it was so delightful to have you at our recent Dallas C3 Global gathering, which is for the American pastors. We have about, this year, I think it might be close to 10 of those conferences around the world. And so there was about 250 leaders and pastors in Dallas, and we got together and we invited them to bring along key members of their team, business people, et cetera, out of their church, and just get the feeling of family and the vibe of actually walking together. And especially after having not been able to come together over the last 2 years, for some people, it's close to 3 years because of COVID and restrictions and lockdowns and that. And so coming together was so special, right? It was just a wonderful time. Tell us a bit about your journey in becoming, moving into a new tribe, a new network of pastors and fellowship.
Well, I think probably need to go to the beginning when I first got saved. Like she said, after I was at the top, I started working my family restaurant because I lost, you know, all the money, everything that I saved up. I was, you know, 18 years old when I had everything. 3 years later, I lost everything working at my brother's restaurant. And this lady came into the restaurant. Her name was May, visiting in Lake Arrowhead, Southern California mountains. Led me to the Lord, led my mom to the Lord, led my brother to the Lord. And it was funny because she said the following week, she came back to the restaurant. She wasn't even from the area. She goes, did you guys find a church? And so it was, I didn't know when I needed to go to church. And she said, you know what? I have a church. I just came last week. I saw it. I want to take you guys next week. So she's driving again, like 2.5 hours to come just to take us to church. And I got plugged into that church. Pastor Jim Cobray is my pastor. And he was my only pastor that I had at that time. And up until this point. And so we started going. And that's where we met, is through the Bible study that we had in the restaurant that May would come up every week and do a Bible study. But just being plugged in and planted in the house was so important for me, because I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for the fact that, and I love your new book, and I love the kind of where the church is going in terms of discipleship, because she, she discipled me. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to lead him to the Lord. I got another one that I led to the Lord. I'm going to go on to the next person. She really discipled me. And I think by her discipling my family, discipling me and Donna, once we got married. And then at that point, we just went and plugged into the local church. And from that time on, like I said, we were serving in different areas of the church. We had kids. Back in 1992, we became full-time youth pastors. So now, you know, this year is going to be 40 years of being full-time ministry. Before that, I would do skateboard evangelism. God used me to kind of go out and give my testimony at youth ministries and things like that. But in terms of pastoring full-time, it's just the local house, the local church was so vital and important.
So then fast forward to about 2018, our pastor retired. And at that point, we knew that as he stepped out, we wouldn't have that same spiritual covering. And we were taught well enough to know that you need to have a spiritual covering. So we began to search for that. We explored a few different organizations and kept coming back to C3 because we had a relationship with some friends of ours, Jürgen and Leanne Matisius. And we had been to their church many times, been to many of the C3 gatherings, and just felt such a sense of community. And it felt like home. It was us. It was our culture. And so in 2019, we started to make that decision to join C3. As part of the C3 organization, C3 Americas. And so we talked with our pastors and let them know that this is the direction we felt God was taking us. They said, absolutely, it's a new season for you guys. They released us with a blessing. And so the end of January 2020, we became C3. And then a month and a half later, COVID shut down the world. So fortunately, we were here part of the C3 organization, and we're blessed to be part of it.
Yeah, fantastic. How did you find, we've talked a lot about churches and how they've coped with church life in COVID and online services, et cetera, et cetera. As pastors in a movement, how have you found the COVID the network of pastors that you're in has been beneficial or of some kind of support to you?
Oh, absolutely. Just knowing, like she said, at the end of January 2020, we became C3, great movement. We had lots of just stuff was happening, momentum. And then when the shutdown hit, it was a godsend that we became part of C3 just because of the community. I would get texts from you, which is, being overseer and heading up C3 over 500 churches worldwide, to be able to get a text from you to encourage us during that time, to be a part of the prayer, the Zooms, and part of the Instagram prayer meetings. Also, too, with the C3 Americas, Val and Simon, just connecting with us, being able to connect with other pastors within the movement. It was definitely a lifeline. And I think I shared with you that out of all the years in ministry, during COVID was the only time I ever thought of maybe I should just get out of ministry and go into the skateboard business world or different things, just because it was so hard. And it was almost like, and I've heard, I'm not sure the statistics, but of pastors that have quit, have fallen away during COVID. But I just love what you told us. Just the fact that we're still standing has been powerful. And I attribute it to us being connected at the right time with C3.
Oh, yeah. And I think loneliness is already a challenge to a minister and people in the ministry, let alone when you isolate and you leave them completely on their own. And you really need to have a network of other pastors who care about you. Mm-hmm. And not just, and I appreciate what you said before, Dawna, about having a covering. And there is a spiritual protection in somebody who's feeling responsible for you and that you're reporting to, but it's also just the care factor that, there's people out there who care about you and who will jump on a plane and come and see you if necessary. And we in C3, we've always been committed to looking after pastors and shepherds. And I think in the process, sometimes Dawna, wives can feel left out of that loop of care, of engagement. So one of the things we've really worked on, it's been part of our culture, is to respect women and their ministry and to make sure that they are noticed and included and engaged in the whole ministry vision. I'm not sure if that's been a different world for you, Dawna, but maybe you could talk a bit about that.
Mm-hmm. I was raised up in a ministry culture where women were encouraged to be in ministry. But the support, the type of support that an encouragement that we receive or that I've received as a woman minister in C3 has been different, to actually have a leader, Val, the C3 Americas, she and Simon Hurt, when we got together, she said, if ever you need anything, I'm just a text or a phone call away, and I will jump on a plane to come to you if you need it. I will come, I will cook dinner for you, I will watch your kids, I will take you out to coffee, whatever you need, I will be there. And that was something that I'd never heard before from a leader. You know, we grew up in a ministry where it was a very tough ministry, where it was, you know, suck it up, buttercup, push through, you know, stand in faith and everything's going to be all right. But sometimes you just need to know that somebody will be there for you if you need it. And that's been so, so wonderful. You know, because that is a part of C3, is the real genuine care and the celebration is just so refreshing.
Yeah. Tell us what you guys have done during times of discouragement, you know, there, because when I have talked to other pastors who've been through some pretty rough times in COVID, and they came through the first lockdown and online church services with steadily declining numbers of viewers, and then we all got back together again, and then we're locked down again, and then some just kept on having church, risking, you know, opposition, and so it is, it's a very discouraging time for some pastors who really are feeling that they're not equipped for the online situation, especially in smaller churches. And I'm often coming across people who are in the same position as what you just said, Eddie. They feel like, you know, like, what's the point? People are leaving, the finances are going down, and so they're feeling the pressure of it all. I think that there's a need for people to be able to speak into our lives from the outside. But in the absence of that, what other things have you found to keep you encouraged, like during high-pressure times?
I think connecting with other pastors and just, you know, being honest with them, hey, this is what we're going through. Because I think over the years, and some of the things that I didn't really like a lot of times about going to conferences, is that everybody's like, oh, this, we have this many people, this many salvations, our church is growing, it's this and that. And I just wanted to connect with people, you know, just be honest with me. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
We're gathering again, but there, you know, only about a third are coming back, or the third of the finances, or, you know, our volunteers. And just, you know, I want to be honest, this is what we're dealing with. And I want to see, it'd be nice to see some transparency from others, which that's what I find refreshing about C3, is that the transparency is like, hey, don't worry about it. You're not the only one that's going through this, which sometimes people like to, you know, obviously make everything okay, but in reality, it was difficult. So I just, a lot of it was connecting with other pastors.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Josh Kelsey speak at that Dallas conference, and he said, 3 years ago, I was up here telling you all how, you know, we're getting up close to 5,000 people each weekend in New York City. And here I am today talking about a congregation of a third that size, and how I've just about bombed out during the process. And so that was a really heartening moment, I think, for a lot of guys who think, oh, everybody's been affected in some way and found it difficult. And I think families have too. Like you got your Malachi, Christopher, and Isaac, right?
Yes.
All great, great kids. What a great job you've done there. And how have you found it as a family, Dawna, to get through this time, like of more intense family life and not traveling so much? And I know some families found it pretty difficult being locked down together in Australia, although you haven't, I'm not sure you've experienced it quite like that in America, but certainly there was some tensions that rose in family life when people had to be around each other all day long.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we did have our fair share of separation from one another. And that was tough. You know, we did a lot of family Zooms, actually, just to even be able to connect together. We did, we did Easter on Zoom with each other. We did Thanksgiving on Zoom with each other. There have been times when it's been challenging. I think all of us have had our different times where we had some outside counseling. Our two younger sons work with us. And so we were in the trenches together, which can be challenging when you are pastor, boss, and parent. And we had to work through all of that because we were all dealing with our own immediate family situations because of the pandemic as well. So it's a lot of love, a lot of communication, and again, reaching out. You know, I believe we all had our own friends that we were able to reach out to as well. So it was a whole lot of different things that we did as family, but I think the most important thing was communication. Right. We did have some conversations throughout this time, some tear-filled conversations and, you know, some hard conversations about challenges that we were dealing with. And I think
so as a family, you talked to each other about those difficulties.
We did.
Yeah. Yes. And it was refreshing to hear Josh speak about what he went through at the conference, because one of our sons went through the similar situation. And I told Josh at the conference, I said, that was just so good, refreshing, to see that, you know, my son, as he went through, and he held it in for the longest time, the longest time. And then finally we got together and he broke down because he was over worship and creative arts, trying to get the videos going and production and editing and this and that. And he just pushed through, but he just finally got to the place of it. He just broke down. It was difficult. It was hard for us to see because on the outside, he looked like he was doing good. But then it's, you know, when you, like you said, isolation, it just like the scripture says, you rage against all wisdom when you isolate yourself. And I think that's what was happening.
Yeah. And we were created for fellowship. You know, God created man and told him it's not good for man to be alone. He created us for fellowship. So it was important for us to work through those things and not stay separated and isolated.
Yeah. Well, definitely we're not whole until we're in the fellowship of prearranged, divinely selected relationships that God has for us. And he wants to join us together as a body of believers. And I think that's a mistake that some people make. They think that people should attend church, but my thumb doesn't attend my hand. It's a member. It's joined. And I think whatever joins people, I mean, signing a membership form certainly doesn't join people. In fact, sometimes it can alienate them. But communications, like you're saying, I think sharing experience, for me, the basis of relationship is shared experience. Mm-hmm. So having a person there with you when you're going through a tough time is one of the most bonding moments you can have. And buddies from war who fought in the trenches together remain friends forever and have reunions every year because those bonds under pressure that are formed are like no other. And I think doing life together actually strengthens all of us. And we're all better together, even as individuals, than we ever would be on our own. So, you know, that's one of the things I really like to push as part of our culture, that we are always better together.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And, you know, what I've loved about being part of the C3 family is that, you know, there were some challenges that we had in the beginning when everything was shut down, because we had never done church outside of the four walls. I mean, you know, we've done outreach and things like that, but we grew up where everybody comes to you in the building for church as a pastor. And we had new C3 churches who were starting during the pandemic where they had never even had a building, right. You know, where they weren't able to even meet in person. So we actually had some phone calls with some of the newer C3 churches during early on in the pandemic and said, how are you starting a church while everybody is shut down? And so it was really neat to hear, you know, how people were doing things. And again, that's the beauty of the C3 family, is we're all in this together. We all want to grow the kingdom together. So it was wonderful to be able to just get on the phone with different pastors and pastors' wives and really just learn from one another.
Totally. I think sometimes we, as a pastor, I always felt like I wanted to know what other guys were doing and why they were succeeding. And you kind of ache for an ideas exchange format.
Yeah.
But if you can have a network where there's, you know, openness to actually sharing with one another, because we all want to grow, not compete. We want to complement each other. And I think that really, really is part of the process of building local churches. Look, guys, I believe that you are going to prosper in your church. You're going to be blessed. And you have such a beautiful church. It is fantastic and so well put together. And I'm believing with you for the abundance of heaven to shower down on you. You're going to be bold, strong, and march forward into Palm Springs, Palm Desert, with a great vision, no doubt about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So glad you got to be able to share with us today. And we're really joyful about that and honored to have you as part of the team.
Oh, thank you very much for having us. We are so excited to be part of the team.
Yes.
And, you know, when we started, the three things that we really loved about the culture was the culture of celebration, the culture of moving in the spirit, and the culture of church planting
and the prophetic.
So we're looking forward to all of that, just, you know, getting back in full force and seeing that come to fruition in a bigger way in the future as we build C3 across the world.
Yep. We are
absolutely.
C3.
Yeah. God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
God bless
you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.